Welcome to T21 Mom.
Hi, friends, and welcome back to the T21 Mom podcast. My name's Mary, and I'm mom to Ainsley, who is 11 years old, and she has Down syndrome and the dual diagnosis of autism. And I am living life my way. And this is episode 122. Have you ever prayed or even wished for something, and has it come true? Well, on today's episode, the first in our series of diagnosis stories, Keller shares how she prayed for a child with extra needs. Yes, that's right. She prayed for a child with extra needs. She shares her reasoning behind this and what happened when her prayer was answered. So let's go and have a listen and meet Keller. Today on the T21 Mom podcast, we're sharing diagnosis stories. We all have one, and we all remember that moment when our lives were forever changed. Today, I am talking with Keller Kuhn, who I think has a very interesting take on this, which I find quite unique. Welcome, Keller.
Thank you. Glad to be here. Thanks. It's an honor.
Oh, you're very welcome. I feel really privileged that I can share other people's stories. And I had a really big response. I wasn't sure, you know, if people would want to. And it's been really gratifying to see that people want to share their stories because they're all so unique, I think, which I have found really interesting. So, you know, before we get started, would you like to share a little bit about you and your family?
Sure, thanks. So I am a single mom of five and have been a single mom of five since my sweet Timmy was 8 months old. At that time, I had a 9-year-old, 8-year-old, 6-year-old, 4-year-old, and special newborn, well, 8-month-old. So is my family. Some live here where I am in Atlanta, Georgia. Some live other places, and Timmy stays with me.
And Timmy is your son who has Down syndrome.
Yes, he has Down syndrome, and he's also on the autism spectrum.
As is my daughter as well. So we're following the same path somewhat there. So you have like an older child with Down syndrome, and Timmy's 22, is that correct?
I'll be 22 on April 9th.
So coming up. So I'm always looking at moms like you who are paving the road ahead of me for my daughter Ainsley, who's 11. And as I said, I found your story quite unique because most of us don't really choose this path in life, except perhaps through adoption. But you actually prayed for a child with special needs. Can you share a little bit about that?
Sure. Thanks, Mary. I was living in Los Angeles and newly married and got pregnant and was at the YMCA in the locker room. And there was a lady there who was also pregnant. And she was talking to us in the locker room, strangers, and said that she was going to abort her child because there was a chance, a percentage, that it might have some sort of defect or disorder or something. And she was talking about it a little bit like, hey, it's going to rain tomorrow. And I was so shocked, you know, and so in disbelief that a first-time pregnant woman would speak that way about something so serious. But anyway, just literally at that moment, you know, I was pregnant and I just prayed, God, if you want to give me a special baby that has special needs, instead of giving that one to somebody that will take their life away, please give me that baby. Please let that baby live. And that's kind of how it started.
Wow. Yeah, that's really sad to hear that someone would talk about that so nonchalantly, like it's not that big of a deal. But what a pivotal moment that was for you that someone said something like that. Sort of, I guess, maybe because prior to that, had you ever thought about wanting or having a child with special needs?
I didn't even really grow up thinking about having children. I was kind of thinking more about myself and my career. And so, no, I didn't ever cross my mind. No.
So you have your first child. They don't have anything extra special about them. And so what was that like when you're still praying to have this, I guess, special child? So, I mean, obviously having a child is a joyous celebration, but how did that make you feel? Or were you just hopeful, or what were your feelings about that?
So it wasn't so much, I desperately want a special needs child. It was, I desperately do not want any special needs child to be rejected. Mm-hmm. I do not want any special needs child to be abandoned. I do not want any special needs child, their life to be taken away from them. So I was happier than a lark in a park to have any child.
Of course. So, yeah.
Yes. Well, yeah, it wasn't until number five. But every single time I was pregnant, I would be waiting to see if it was going to be my, you know, be the special child. So there was never any extra elation, disappointment, or anything. It was very neutral, you know.
Of course. Yes. Okay. That's totally understandable. So growing up, did you know someone with Down syndrome? Or you said you did know somebody with Down syndrome. Can you share a little bit about this?
Sure. Thanks. Derek was an older man who was probably, when I met him, was in his early 20s. And his dad was an associate of my dad. My dad had an advertising company in Chicago, and Derek's dad was a client of their company. And so business party, you know, socials and things, he would come and bring Derek with him. And Derek had a wooden spoon that he brought everywhere. So like at Christmas time, we would buy Derek a new wooden spoon, and he would tap his little chin with that wooden spoon. And that was just something comforting to him. But Derek was very even keel. He didn't talk a lot, but he was absolutely delightful. And we really looked at Derek like, why don't we have Derek? What's wrong with our family? No, literally, like, it was so wonderful that we were like, wow, wish we could have a Derek, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful that you had that prior experience with someone with Down syndrome. Because I know for myself personally, I mean, I would see people with Down syndrome in the community and at church, but I didn't actually know anyone who had Down syndrome. So, and then when you have a child with Down syndrome or some other disability, you're kind of thrown into that and you lots of different people. But yeah, so I didn't know anyone. So I know for myself and like for many others, like, as I said, I was not really all that familiar with Down syndrome, and I obviously knew what it was. But do you think knowing Derek kind of helped shape your beliefs in asking God to send you a child with special needs?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I think when everyone meets your daughter, they're going to be changed forever when they meet her. They're going to have an immediate impression. And I think with Down people, at least, I think that impression is going to be really great. They're going to see something in that person that they don't see normally. And then also in grade school, we would go in the special needs classroom and have lunch with them.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the time probably where many people find themselves now. That was the time that I felt uncomfortable. I felt awkward, but they just did integration. And so we would go in there every, you know, once a month, and started to see people as people. Didn't see a whole lot of difference. They did different quirky things, and so did I, you know. And so I think having as many Down people as possible around the general population would really change our world. That's my viewpoint. Yeah.
Oh, yes. I 100% agree on that. Right. So as you said, Timmy is your fifth child. When did you actually learn that he had Down syndrome?
I learned after he was born. So whenever I was pregnant, Timmy was my fifth pregnancy, I never got any of the tests. I just really thought, God, give me whoever you have, and we will take care of them as best we know how when they come here. So it wasn't until, yeah, so four times, you know, having babies and be like, oh, this one isn't special needs and this one's delightful, you know. So it wasn't until the fifth time. And I didn't find out until after he was born. So he was born and he needed oxygen right away, which, you know, the way kids are born can sometimes help you to see what their life is like. He needed a little extra help. right when he was born. And the midwife, I had all my kids with, not in the hospital, with midwives. And she said, I'm seeing something here. I'm seeing a simian crease in his palm. His ears seemed lower set. And I literally shouted out, does he have, like, I was so happy, like, happy birthday, you know? And she just laughed. She was like, oh, Keller, I should have known you would have said something like that. So, you know, she goes, I can't tell you for certain. We'd have to do the test, but there's a good possibility. And I was, you know, so literally so amazed that God would answer the weakest prayer I had ever prayed. You know, give me a special needs child. You know, don't let their life be taken. And I felt special. I felt special. It was very strange. Like, I can't relate to most people that I talked to that have had Down syndrome children, because I was waiting for the dentist sense, you know, and in a sense, I was found out after he was born, needed oxygen, and then she gave him to me. And you could see those adorable little eyes, you know, and those cute little hands and that, like, little pinky. And I just fell in love immediately.
Wow. So what was that kind of like to, I mean, you sort of answered it, but like, what was it like when you realized that your prayers had been answered? And were you just as, I mean, it sounds like it, but were you just as celebratory with this baby, even though there might be another, or there might be a diagnosis as your other children?
Yes, definitely. And I think this felt extra special because I had prayed such a strange prayer. You know, I was in a marriage that was very, very hard. It was very, very challenging. And so the fact that God answered this wacky prayer at number five, and Timmy's dad left 8 months after he was born. And so it was like just literally God saying through a megaphone, I am with you. I hear you. And there's nothing better than that. Nothing.
That's amazing. Wow. Like, I think, yeah, most people aren't praying for that, but I think how amazing that you did and your prayers were answered. I think it's such a fantastic story. So now you're a single mom to five, which I can't imagine how challenging that was. But how did becoming a single mom make you pivot? You say Timmy is the easiest person you've ever lived with, but as you were going through this transition, did you ever wonder how you were going to do it?
I wondered all the time. And I think anybody, whether they have a needs child or not, wonder how are we going to do it. And I do hope in a sense that people wonder that every day. Mm-hmm. You know, how are we going to do it? Because I think when we see that we need others, that we need God, that we need our community, I think that's how we were created. And I think that's a good thing. Is it fun? No. Is it scary? Absolutely. Did my prayer life change from praying all sorts of lofty prayers to help? Yes. Yes, it did. You know, so on a daily basis, my prayer life became, God, help me, help me, help me. So yeah, it doesn't mean it's all blissful. It's challenging, but it's good challenging. If you're going to have a challenge, it may as well be a good one.
Yeah, I like that because, you know, I'm a single mom by choice. I do have a partner now, but, you know, when I decided I wanted to go down the motherhood journey, it was on my own. And then, of course, I find out prenatally that my daughter Ainsley was going to be born with Down syndrome. And I did wonder, how was I going to do that? But I think it's been, like you just said, like an awesome challenge. And, you know, I think it, when things may become challenging like that, they help us to grow as a person, become stronger, more resilient. I'm sure you felt that in many ways, like, because that's quite a challenge. You have five kids, which is already, you know, a huge challenge in itself. And then one has, you know, a lot of probably extra needs and, you know, therapies and just everything on top of that. So I'm sure it was quite the challenge for you.
Yeah, I've had a lot of help. And, you know, pretty much since Timmy was born, my sister and her husband have been, I wouldn't be smiling right now if not for them. And it, tangibly, tactically, what they provided, they've provided a home for years. So I've only ever had to work part time. Mm-hmm. So it's been astounding. It's been staggering how amazing people have been and God has been to just generous. So yeah, there's nothing in me that is super duper special that has made this a great story. It's all the people. It's all the people. Mm-hmm. As Mr. Rogers used to say, look for the helpers, mm-hmm. you know, and I've certainly seen. Yeah.
Oh, that's really lovely. Oh, yes. And everyone always says it takes a village to raise a child. And I think when we have a child with Down syndrome, you really do need that village to help you, carry you, to share with you, like the ups and the downs, because we all know it doesn't matter if you have a typical child or not. There's always lots of peaks and valleys regardless. So that's wonderful. And how is Timmy's relationship? Like, what's it like with his older siblings?
Yeah. So when he was younger, he didn't walk until he was 4. Mm-hmm. So when he was younger, you know, having 4 other kids, his older sister, especially, he has 2 older sisters, but his oldest sister, Katrina, she was just like a mama bear from the time she was born. And so she would just take charge of him. She would carry him around on her little, and, you know, of course she went to school and that kind of thing, but having family, you know, having other family members, whether that's cousins, whether that's neighbors, whatever it is, it's just been brilliant. And then the other kids, you know, if we're on the playground, if we were on the playground and someone would look at Timmy in a weird way because he was different, they would come to his defense. You know, they would tell people how great he was. And even me as a mom, I would say on the playground to other kids, not their parents, because their parents were usually talking to someone or on their cell phone. But I would say, yeah. I would say, hey, this is Timmy. He has Down syndrome. They're like, what's that? And I'd say, well, he just learns a little bit slower than other people, but he's really creative. And I would just tell them all about Timmy. And then the kids immediately would be perfectly happy. They wanted to be with Timmy. So the siblings really helped with that. They really helped just introduce him into community. Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yes, Ainsley's an only child, so I do find that challenging at times. But, you know, this year I've seen, you know, she's in grade 6. She's got a good little circle of, I think, that are actually legitimate friends. And we've got a really great Yay this year who has really helped to foster those friendships, because I put that in her IEP because it was important to me, because she is an only child, that she has those friendships. You know, because they sort of took a little bit of a turn at about grade 3 or 4. But, you know, now I think I see some legitimacy to these friendships. And, you know, we'll see once it carries on, you know, when she goes to high school, if that carries on. You know, I think that's a whole different ballgame. But that's, yeah, just what a difference it makes to have such wonderful and supportive siblings, and they're willing to advocate for him, you know, because it can be hard, you know, school can be hard. Kids, you know, they can be cruel, and that can be hard to stick up for your sibling who is a little bit different. So kudos to you for raising good humans who can do that
yep.
for your son. Now, how has Timmy changed you?
So it's still in process, I think. He'll be changing. His influence will change me. But the biggest thing I would say is, in general, Down syndrome people do not regret the past, nor do they fear the future. They live so much in the present, in general. Of course, specifically, there may be a lot of varieties. That's what I, you know, that's my constant, like, daily challenge is, I will be very worried about the future. I will have shame or regret from things of the past, and it will be influencing my day. And then I'll look at Timmy, who's just outside singing a little song to himself, and I'll be like, there's the joy, there's mm-hmm. the beauty, there's the precious gem, and I'm totally missing it. And so that's the biggest influence, is I want to I want to be like Timmy. Okay. You know, mm-hmm. do I want Timmy to be like me? No, I really don't. I want to be more like Timmy. And so that, I think, would be the greatest influence. The other thing, I think, is having a person with special needs in your family. You see the whole world differently. Mm-hmm. Timmy has been a litmus, you know, when in science class, when it would turn red or green. And I find that when you have your wonderful person with you in public, they are a litmus test, and they're a litmus test to whether people are custom, uneducated, unsure about special needs people. Mm-hmm. You can see sometimes when someone has a heart so small, they might resemble the Grinch toward your special needs person.
Yeah.
And then you'll see people that just will literally run up to your special needs person and just love them. So he's a real litmus sometimes to even want to hang out with and don't want to hang out with. And I found that very helpful because the world is a crazy place and people are not as they seem. Timmy, when he was younger, would walk into a room at church, at potluck or whatever, and he could sense for some reason the person that needed a hug. Mm-hmm. He wasn't even very, very kind. So he would go saddle up to that person and sit next to them or hug them. And that influences me greatly, you know, to go, wow, he can see things. He can perceive things and feel things that I'm completely unaware of. And living with someone like that day to day, he's almost 22. It just gives you pause. Mm-hmm. So often you stop and you think, wow, I've been living upside down, inside out, you know, and now I get to see something beautiful and hopefully to example that and mirror that in my own life.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that too. And I've seen that with my daughter as well, that she'll just go up and hug somebody or give someone a high five. And I'm going, like, how does she know? And I've heard interesting stories. So I think it's almost like they have this sixth sense. Our kids just know, they just have that perception. And I love how you said, like, Timmy lives in the present. I know from a lot of our kids that they do. And I think that's something that we all can really learn from, is to really live in right now and to savor that moment. So yeah. Oh, that's just so wonderful. Now, you're almost 22, well, I guess 22 years into this journey, because Timmy's almost 22. What advice would you give someone who has just found out their child has Down syndrome, either prenatally or a birth diagnosis?
So I would say, congratulations. Mm-hmm. You have been given a gift. And the gift you have been given will absolutely alter your life. But you've been chosen specifically because of what you have to offer that person. And you've also been chosen because of what they have to offer you. And I want you to know that you are on the VIP list for dads, that this person's life is not just precious because they're your precious child, but there's some kind of magnification of that preciousness that is, I don't know. It's just bigger and bigger and bigger, like having a special needs child. Please always see it as a gift. See them as a gift, even when it's hard, because it can be. Just know that you were chosen and know that they are such a gift. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. It was actually making me tear up, you saying that. I think it's so true and so beautiful. I think how amazing. You know, was there anything else you wanted to add or anything?
I did. I would love to say that don't compare. Don't compare your special needs child with any other special needs child. Yeah. I did that for a while. Oh, that one has mosaic Down syndrome. Oh, they can, you know, you can really drive yourself crazy comparing out with other people. Like, what you're doing is amazing, Mary. You're spreading joy through what you're doing, but you're also getting an incredible experience, incredible education, and inspiration as well. So, like, I don't think everyone is a Mary, and not everyone's going to be able to do that, but that's a wonderful thing. And then I would say, educationally, listen to your mommy heart. Do not listen to the educators. you listen to your mommy heart, you spend time with your child, you know much better than an educator. I promise you, I have teachers in my whole family, but you know better what your little girl and your little boy can do. And I battled in the public school for a very long time, and I wasted so much time in that battle when I could have just been spending time with Timmy, teaching him to read myself, right? So whatever they need, whether it's private school, public school, whatever it is, if it's working in the environment you have, great. But if it's not working, make the sacrifices and make the change now so that in the future, they will be able to read and write. They will be able to write a resume and get a job and that sort of thing. Like that, no comparisons, and put their personality, their needs, and what you think they can do above everything else. Don't waste time like I did. Yeah. Fight the good fight, not the distractions that are out there. You know, what other people are doing. Don't listen. Circle the wagons very with you and your child, and listen to them and see what they can do, because that's where the gold is. That's where you're going to be able to help them to shine.
Oh, that's really lovely and powerful, I find, because I know we're all guilty of the comparison. I try so hard not to do it. It is really hard. I have my moments. You know, because she has autism, as I'm sure you find as well, with Timmy being on the spectrum, is because I find it that impacts my daughter much more than Down syndrome. I go, why couldn't she just have Down syndrome? This would be so much easier, you know. And sometimes I feel I've missed out on a lot of, I don't know, I guess like the typical sort of growing up kind of milestone things, right? Because my daughter doesn't really have that interest in those things. And I find that at times really hard, but I'm learning to sort of try to navigate that and accept that, because, you know, that's, this is just our path, and it's not somebody else's path. This is our path. So let's just forge our own way. It's hard, as I'm sure you know, but, you know, we're trying.
Sounds like you're doing a great job, Mary. It really does. You know, sounds like you're giving her opportunities and that you're totally on her team and on her side, and that's what's going to make a difference in her life.
Thank you. Yeah, like you said, like sometimes just fighting the battles is, I think you have to pick which battles are worth fighting for. You know, it's sometimes it's not the mountain or the hill that you want to die on, and you know, and that's kind of what I've learned too. I mean, I'm Ainsley's only in grade 6, she's only 11, so you're twice as far ahead of me. But yeah, that's what I have been learning. And but it's, you know, it doesn't make it easier, but, you know, I think we have to just choose the best path, you know, for ourselves, but also for our kids as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then the last thing I'll just say, we've had a lot of challenging, that is a very kind and choice word, time in churches.
Okay.
And yeah, we've had some, if I were to tell you all the experiences we've had in different churches, you'd be heartbroken. But so I would say, whatever the public arena is, whatever the public arena is that you're in, don't ever keep your child in a place that you think they should be. Move them to a place where they are completely celebrated, unequivocally, joyfully celebrated. Don't keep them anywhere where that is not happening at all, ever. So that's the only other thing I would say for our story, that we've had a real rough time in churches, much more than in general public. And it's not your job to educate everybody about Down syndrome.
Uh-huh.
It's your job to love your child and delight in their life. And that's the most important thing. Yeah.
That is so true. Wow. Thank you. Yeah. That's wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing that. And unfortunately, I have heard many of the similar stories about churches. We have had a pretty good go at it. So, you know, I can't comment personally, but I have from a close friend, I have heard that. And, you know, and that it hurts my heart to hear that, especially at church. That should be a place that you should feel welcomed and everyone should feel welcomed there. And it's just really unfortunate that sometimes our kids are not really all that welcomed there, and they make it difficult for our kids to participate. But I really appreciate your words of wisdom. You know, like I said, I'm always looking at the moms who are ahead of me in this journey, because honestly, I thank all of you who have older kids, because honestly, you're paving the way for me and all the other parents that are coming behind me, even, you know, to make this world a lot more accepting of our kids and, you know, letting people know how amazing our kids are.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Absolutely. And you call me anytime, Mary.
Thank you very much. Well, I would love to have that too. So, you know, anytime we want to come back on the podcast, we can do that. We'll find another story to tell. So that's fantastic. Thank you, Keller, so much for coming on today and sharing your such a beautiful story about Timmy and, you know, your life with him. And, you know, you said you had this wacky prayer and how, you know, dreams really do come true. I think it's fantastic.
Thank you. Thanks for letting me tell my story. I really appreciate you.
Oh, you're very welcome.
I hope you enjoyed hearing Keller's diagnosis story as much as I did. I really loved chatting with her, and I loved her quote of Mr. Rogers about looking for the helpers, because we all need a little bit of help in this journey. And I think it's so important to find those helpers in our lives. And I love that she said, I am not, you know, there is nothing super duper special about me. And I think we all kind of feel that way. And I'm sure a lot of us also feel like we were chosen to parent our kids. And, you know, I don't think any of us feel like we're super special in any way, but yet we have these magnificent children that we've been privileged to take care of. You know, we all have our diagnosis stories, and we all will remember that moment when we learned of our child's diagnosis and our world as we knew it was forever changed. And if you would like to share your story, I would love to hear from you. You can drop me a line at my website at t21mom.com, or you can even leave me a little voicemail there. So keep on loving on your rockin' kiddos, and I'll see you next time.